Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Jim Viscardi, and today we bring you the 137th episode, our pre-holiday extravaganza spectacular. We've got a bunch of good news today, which I'm excited about.
Yes. I've also, dusted off the Christmas decorations and brought a horrifying Christmas time PokeFact of the week that will be sure to delight and entertain everyone.
I think the real story here is that for everyone who's watching this live or the video afterwards is that Hoffer is rocking a really sweet Pokemon holiday sweater.
Oh, like, yeah.
That is a great
I should have worn my Eevee Santa hat. You know what? I really missed out on that opportunity. Yeah, Maybe after the break, I'll grab it.
My son has been wearing our Pikachu Christmas hat like every single day since December 1st. So I'm not comfortable putting that thing on just because he's worn it so much. Like, it's he tried to wear it to school. I'm like, absolutely not. I'm not having you lose this limited edition Pikachu Santa hat. Like, so instead he's like, he wears it to sleep. He's wearing it all the time. You know, one day it will just fuse to his head. And
that's a horrifying image, but I'm really proud of your son's commitment.
Yes, he's very committed to the bit. So in not on our script for the week, speaking of my son, I actually got a chance to play the first Pokemon board game to come out in who knows how many years.
Right. You picked up
Pokemon Labyrinth. So yeah. We covered this earlier in the month. Early in the year. What is time? It's a podcast. And also, we're still in a pandemic. We covered this earlier in the year that Pokemon Labyrinth was coming out. It's an adaptation of the popular board game Labyrinth. Originally, it was only out in Europe, and they brought it over here in the United States, literally a few weeks ago. So I finally had a chance to crack it open and play it. It's fun. It's basically what you would expect a game of Pokemon Labyrinth to be. If you've never played Labyrinth before, how it works is there is a labyrinth. It is made up of different tiles, and you shift on your turn, you take a tile and you shift a row of the tiles over one in various directions to kind of manipulate the labyrinth. And you can do that to either try to block your opponents or to try to, open up new routes for you to explore. And in this game, you have a collection of Pokemon that you are trying to capture. It only takes like 15-20 minutes to play. Like, we did it with me, my son, and the two neighbor boys, and it basically quickly turned into a two-person competition between me and my son. our poor neighbor kids got just completely outclassed because we're like board game experts. Yeah, there it is. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it moves very fast. The only thing that I didn't like about it was because there's like so many Pokemon, you don't know what other people are going for. So it's hard to kind of strategize like what, you know, what your opponent is going after. So it's kind of hard. And like the core game of Labyrinth, you kind of like can strategize to block your opponent a little easier. Mm-hmm. But here, mm-hmm. so, you know, you're only supposed to know, like, you only look at one of your Pokemon at a time, which are represented by those Pokeball icons. And so you mm-hmm. kind of like look at it and you keep it secret and you kind of move around the Labyrinth trying to get those. So, you know, the only thing I didn't like about the game was the fact that you couldn't really, you know, strategize to screw your opponent, which is probably for the best because I was playing against a bunch of children under the age of 10.
Yeah. I mean, it says on the tin, you know, ages 7 and up. So, you know, there's going to be a bunch of little kids. Don't go crushing people at Christmas. But it is, I just checked, it's still in stock on Amazon. It says that it would ship in 3 days. I don't know if that'll make it to you by Christmas, but. You know,
it may.
It's an option. It's $35 USD if you're interested. But to confirm, it's just a skin, right? Like there's other than like the Pokemon catching and stuff.
Yeah. So like I said, there's a little bit of a variation based on because of, you know, you're specifically trying to get specific Pokemon, and that's not something that you do in the core game of Labyrinth. You're basically trying to collect the most treasures. So, you know, that's a variation on it. Labyrinth has been like reskinned like a billion times. Yes. It's a pretty popular, there's like a Harry Potter Labyrinth. There's are other labyrinths. I can't remember them off the top of my head. Harry Potter Labyrinth is the only one I remember at the moment, but this is a thing that they've done before. So yeah, it's only a reskin. It's kind of like the Pokemon Monopolies that are kind of running around out there. You know, but they're still, to be honest, you know, to be 100% honest, it's a better game than Monopoly. So,
It's a less frustrating game, especially when you're playing with younger kids.
Yeah.
The only Monopoly skin that's good is Animal Crossing. I just have to plug that because it doesn't feel, I promise you, you look at that game and it doesn't look like Monopoly. It feels like a weird RPG game. But I will say that I'm definitely curious. I think I'm going to try to pick this up. I don't know if I want to pay $35 for it, but if I can find it on sale, I might have to get it.
Yeah. No, I like I said, it's a fun, quick game. I like the fact that my, you know, the kids picked it up really quickly. Like they understood mm-hmm. the rules. Like one of them kind of had like struggled to like figure out like, okay, I'm trying to get to this point. How do I manipulate the map to get to that point? So he kind of was getting stuck there. Yeah. But you know, other than that, it's a pretty simple game. I own both of the Pokemon Monopoly games. They're mm-hmm. fine. So, you know, here's the thing about Monopoly. I can say this as a board game snob. You know, Monopoly is, you know, specifically meant to be an unfair game. It's supposed to be actively unfun for those of you, you know, for those who aren't in the position of playing as, like, the ultimate landlords. That's the entire point of the game. You know, it's a morality lessons and the evils of capitalism. And it turned into, like, the most popular board game of all time because that, you know, ironically has made people billions and billions of dollars. But you know, that's why I don't like Monopoly. But I own both the Pokemon Monopoly games. You know,
I mean, you have to collect them at some point. I mean, I have that Pokemon Master Trainer board game that came out forever ago. It's like the original. They're so expensive. I have it right behind me. It's my original version. It survived the house fire from when my childhood home burned down. That's all sad and beat. Let's mourn for a second. Though literally when that happened, all my Pokemon stuff survived. But I still have Master Trainer. I'm planning to bring it to a holiday Christmas party, you know, provided we're all COVID free still and good to go. And I saw a copy secondhand of that game at a store here in Nashville, and it was selling for like $150.
Holy moly.
Like, it's a, excuse me? Like, that is so expensive. Yeah, I mean, we know all secondhand Pokemon stuff tend to be expensive, but man, it sent me for a loop.
I keep half expecting there's a board game publisher called Restoration Games that takes like very popular games from like the 80s and early 90s and like revamps them for modern day audiences. And mm-hmm. you know, they've done a couple of like really popular ones like Fireball Island, which was if you were a child in the 1980s, you played the original Fireball Island. Like, it was like the game that all kids from like the 80s owned a copy of, and they brought it back. And I keep waiting for them to announce, like, yes, we are doing Pokemon Master Trainer, because that is another one of those like very popular board games, totally unavailable on the market today unless you want to pay stupid amounts of money. And yeah, I think one of these days we will get Pokemon Master Trainer once again. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
No, it's if you can find one, I'll say this, it is such a fun game. That was one of my favorite board games as a kid. If you can find it and not pay like $200 for it, or I mean less than $100, you like find a good deal on it. Like, it is very much worth it. It is such a fun little game. Very much a fan.
All right. Well, it was a nice pre-news dive tangent.
Yes.
But also, we also have like additional kind of first news exclusive kind of thing going on here. Build-A-Bear just announced that Glaceon, like literally just announced as in mere moments ago, Glaceon is coming to Build-A-Bears worldwide and available online. And Pokemon Company was so kind enough to send us one to so we can see it in person. So they're doing their standard, $65 bundle, online exclusive bundle, which comes with the Glaceon, the cape, a sound. Here it is, which is adorable.
Oh, they're so cute. I can't do this.
And then all of these EVs also come with like a sleeper, like a pair of pajamas. It's incredibly adorable. But obviously my kid is a huge Eevee fan, and so we have collected all of these. This is easily one of the best ones. I love the ears. I love the dangly earrings.
Yeah. It's so cute.
I totally forgot that Glaceon has like a double set of ear thing going on.
Yeah.
You know, I always forget about that.
Yeah. They're not like, super pronounced in the design unless you're focusing. Yeah, they kind of just kind of look like something.
But they've done a number of these. So I think they've done obviously Glaceon. They have done the three basically OG evolutions: Jolteon, Vaporeon, and Flareon, and Espeon. They've done
and Umbreon.
So. Collection grows, so that means it's
curious to see how they try to do Sylveon one day, because there's so many the kind of like ribbon tendril things that you get with Sylveon.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Sylveon,
I want it so bad.
Sylveon will be a number one bestseller when that.
Yeah, that thing that's just a license to print money right there. Like,
yeah,
you know, like Build-A-Bear is like, guys, our stock price is falling. Time to unleash the Sylveon.
Yeah. Well, like, I have Vaporeon, because that's all, I mean, it's me. Yeah. Come on, guys. It's me. I have to have Vaporeon. But, like, as the resident Eevee queen here, I want all of them. But, man, that price point, the bundle, even when it's been on sale, the cheapest I found it, like, through Build-A-Bear for those online Eevee bundles has been, like, $35. And I just cannot pull the trigger on that so consistently.
Do it. You just got to when you're feeling comfortable, you just got to do it at the store, because part of it is like, it's the experience of it too. Like that's the one part you miss when you order them online is the whole experience aspect of it. It's no surprise. I mean, I've said it time and again, I've worked there for a whole bunch. I think that is, you know, dollar for dollar, one of the kind of best kid kind of experience things that you could do, right? Like, just for the cost and for the whole thing, you know, it's actually pretty awesome. And then when you just like, kids just go nuts with it, and it's the coolest thing to see. So anyway, Glaceon available now. I think Build-A-Bear's got an express deal on shipping thing going on right now too, that you can check out. You may be able to get one in time for Christmas. But I think today's probably the last day you can even think about that. Otherwise, just go to your local Build-A-Bear. So that's pretty cool. Thanks to Build-A-Bear for shooting one over to us. I have to very quickly put it back in its box so I can wrap it for a gift for my kid.
So, there you go. Easy peasy.
There we go. Easy Beezy.
Exclusive first look for the podcast and a very appropriate Christmas present for your child.
Exactly. Love it. All right. Let's see what else is on our news rundown. Oh, this well, the first I'm going to jump just one thing ahead, Christian, because I've got issues with this as well. Pokemon Unite has a bug. Basically makes the game unplayable.
Yep. It's pretty freaking awful. It's
I'm not bad. Heard of this. What's happened?
Basically, there is a bug that is not that hard to exploit that turns Cramorant into an invincible, like, murder machine. Literally cannot be killed. Nothing you can do. Like, and the problem is like, you know, once it's activated, like, you know, it's like Cramorant goes Super Saiyan and you just can't do anything about it. And
that's
so it's like
amazing.
You know, the entire metagame has shifted because they're, you know, and the best part about it is Pokemon Unite released a statement, was like, hey, everybody, yeah, we have a bad bug, so we're asking everyone not to do it while we figure out a fix. And that has caused the metagame to get even worse. And so now the entire metagame is built around, does the other team have a Cramorant? And if so, we need to beat the holy snot out of it and prevent it from scoring any points because the exploit is triggered on a point score, like, you know, on a point score. So when, if they manage to score any points, they can trigger this invincibility mode and it becomes unplayable. So like right now, if you're playing ranked and you see a Cramorant, you basically have to run around and just bully the snot out of it.
Yeah. But then it makes it impossible because then you basically leave the entire rest of the team to go out and score. And so it is.
I noticed it
in a couple of games I was playing and I was like, oh, something's not right here. I'm like, why? What the hell? And then sure enough, I saw the thing about the bug and I was like, oh man. So much so I was like, well, maybe it's time for me to learn Cramorant and jump into ranked because I could easily gain some momentum and levels.
Don't
here.
Be that guy.
I didn't.
Don't be I that guy.
I thought about it.
That's where Jim
it's not
the
a bug,
line
it's a feature.
I mean, it kind of is. Like, that's the problem, is it's, you know. You know, they could have fixed it. I don't know. They did do a, release a patch this week, you know, today. They released a patch today, and I don't think it fixed it. I didn't see it on the patch notes. Although, I'll be honest, I wasn't paying attention.
What did Cramorant do to the back end of this game that has so thoroughly just annihilated the developers on the back end that are just like, you know what, it's the holidays? Let's give the gift to Cramorant of just invincibility. Because also, we have to admit, the fact that it's Cramorant that's being impacted by this feature slash bug is hilarious. Like, of all the Pokemon in that game, he's the one who deserves it the most.
Yeah, I do not see, like, the patch notes mention nothing about Cramorant.
Like they would advertise it since they've already addressed it in a statement that they'd be like, hey, it's fixed. It's fixed. You can play the game. Cramorant isn't your god anymore. Like, amazing. So, I am honestly, I want to watch games now with just Cramorant. Absolutely.
Oh, it's amazing. It is amazing. It's funny because a couple of people in our chat are talking about how, you know, it's not a bug. It's a feature. Reminds them of Sword Art Online. And ironically, I spent my weekend watching Sword Art Online. Because I got the booster shot, and so I was, like, laid out, and, like, my comfort food anime is Sword Art Online, so I literally spent the whole weekend
watching. Depending on your area of the world, the Sword Art Online, the new movie's out in theaters for, like, it's going to be out soon. So if you can go safely, go check it out. It's pretty good. Yep. And that was our anime tangent for the day.
I look forward to seeing that when it comes out on streaming here in, like, 4 weeks as soon as it leaves theaters.
Yeah, it won't be too long.
Well, in other Unite news, we're getting Darkrai. Darkrai?
Oh, are we? I didn't see that. Wow. No, that's not Pokemon Unite. That's Pokemon Legend. I'm sorry. I messed that up in the notes. I was tired. Pokemon Legends Arceus for getting Darkrai. I'm like, we're not getting a mythical Pokemon in Pokemon Unite. Yeah, no, they we'll talk more about this in a little while about, you know, they did some Pokemon Legends announcements. But one of those announcements is we are getting another mythical Pokemon that will be available to people if you have save data for Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl on the Switch that you use to play Pokemon Legends Arceus. Once you complete the game, you will get access to a mission that will lead to an encounter with Darkrai. And this is the second one of those, following Shaymin, landform Shaymin. So, you know, cute little hedgehog Shaymin, not weirdo deer with wings Shaymin.
And for those of you who do have Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, Zenpai in the chat reminding us to claim your statues using the code Happy Christmas, where the I in Christmas is a one.
So yes. Well, they don't have eyes in the mystery.
CHR1TMAS.
Yeah.
So make sure you get all right. Let's real quick. We'll go through some Pokemon Go's holiday event. Season of Heritage has started, and then we're going to take our break and go into some other stuff. It's actually a pretty good event.
I mean, if you like costumed Pokemon, or if you like,
we all know on this podcast that I love me some costumed Pokemon.
Well, there we go. You know,
that's how you get that's how you get Megan and Jim back into the game.
If you
need some like outfits.
Did you guys do the community day this weekend?
I did not because I was
I also did not because I was too busy. You know.
190 shinies from Night Fighters.
Whew. Yeah, sounds
that's a lot.
Sounds pretty. The other thing they did announce was they announced the Pokemon Go Tour Live locations.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you live in Monterrey, Mexico, Taiwan, or Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, you will be able to go and pay $25. Do the Pokemon Go tour Pokemon Go tour live event on February 27th. I question whether or not you should go and do that, although it will be in February, so you know it's outdoors.
Here's the thing. I like that they're doing it internationally, because I think it's good, because look, the Pokemon Go audience is a global play base. Okay. And so it's one of those things where, like, you know, they all can't be here. Okay.
No, I'm all about, you know, give the United States less events. You know, I'm all about that. You know,
I mean, we'll probably get something in the summer, I imagine.
I'm guessing, I mean, partially it's a little bit, you know, this is late February, so who knows what the weather's going to be like. Like, it could be 60 degrees, it could be 10 degrees, it could be a blizzard. So, you know, you don't want to really plan for, you know, a big event in the United States. So, like, the locations they plan, it makes sense.
Or all temporary.
You know, yeah, it makes sense. I did think it was interesting that they only announced three locations. So that was interesting. It's an optional thing, so you know it's all focused on Kanto Pokemon, so you know, it just seems like a nice little add-on event for people who want to do it. That's in February, so if you live in one of those countries, go and do it.
They'll probably drop one of those giant egg things that they that we've seen before in those places, because those things are really, really cool.
Yeah, those are cool.
We'll see how it goes. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk more about Pokemon Legends Arceus and some other big anime stuff coming up. Ash doing some Ash shenanigans. Who doesn't love good Ash shenanigans? All that more when we're back in 60 seconds.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay. We got a new trailer, Pokemon Legends Arceus. And more and more, I am getting incredibly excited for this game. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about it because, like, I'm not a Breath of the Wild fan kind of thing. And I know this is not exactly that. But I was curious. And then the more I see of this game, the more I love it.
I mean,
Although these trailers are incredibly Japanese.
I think that people should be prepared. This is going to be the first Pokemon game in which, like, the lore, you know, actually is coherent. Actually seems to be a relevant detail other than the, like, you know, legends state there was once a legendary Pokemon who may have created time, space, balance, water, earth, I don't know, something, and then it disappeared. We think it's just a joke or a myth or a legend. Oh my god, this Pokemon ended up being real, and conveniently it has appeared to defeat the bad guys. Like, I feel like, you know, we're finally going to get a deviation from that, and that pleases me immensely. There are some, like, interesting things that are coming out of it too. Basically, we got this trailer. It was about 2 minutes long, and it revealed some of the NPCs from Pokemon Legends Arceus. It revealed that one of the big things that it revealed was apparently people are calling Arceus, you know, who we know is the creator of the Pokemon universe and also a catchable Pokemon because you can catch God. They seem to be
imagine the internet headlines when the original games came out just about Arceus in general. It's like, it's,
oh yeah. Well, my favorite, like, thing, you know, was when Arceus appeared in the anime movies. Like, they were always like, Ash catches God in new Pokemon movie. And it was like, whoa, man, I'm just trying to have a cup of coffee, have some toast in the morning. This is way too existential.
In the course of this trailer, multiple characters refer to an almighty Sinnoh, which people think is a reference to Arceus. We get our first hint of how the Hisui region becomes the Sinnoh region, and it might have something to do with Arceus. We do know that Sinnoh, that it has been stated, I forget exactly whom, but it's been stated that Sinnoh means mysterious in the language of Pokemon, I guess. I don't know. We got a little bit of intriguing stuff going on there. We now know that there's two clans of people. One is the Diamond Clan and the other is the Pearl Clan. The Diamond Clan is very big into time management, which cracks me up. And the Pearl Clan is very big into respecting wide open spaces. And it's like, oh, I see what they're doing there. A little bit of time and space. Their leaders got shown off. One has a Glaceon as a partner. The other has a Leafeon. They appear to be polar opposites of one another. We saw Cynthia and Faulkner's ancestors, who are both traveling merchants. Cynthia's ancestor is a dude, looks just like Cynthia, but is a
broke
dude.
The internet, man. That trailer went live. Literally, everyone was like, male Cynthia. Oh my god, I couldn't escape it. I knew that before the trailer even came out. I couldn't even watch a trailer before I saw it.
So that's what we got. A couple of interesting things. Like, we knew that there were going to be people running around dressed up as in Dialga and Palkia gear, but now we know that they're explicitly called the Diamond Clan and Pearl Clan, which made me laugh. I like that, you know, we're getting more NPCs that are, you know, clearly ancestors of the modern Pokemon NPCs. It was interesting. It was a very interesting trailer. Not the juiciest trailer. There were no Voltorbs running around or anything like that. We didn't get any new Pokemon. But, you know, it was interesting. Like I said, I think we're going to get more releases like this, and because there's only a month until this game comes out.
Yeah, it's ticking down real quick.
Yeah, like it's going
to
be.
Are there any other big reveals, though, that you think that they need to give us before this game comes out? Or do you feel that our appetite is very much sated?
I think that, so. Here's the thing: the timing of this is weird. Clearly, you know, quite frankly, I think it's obvious that originally this was supposed to be the big, you know, holiday release for this year,
right?
And didn't get finished in time. You know, I think most people kind of accept that's probably what's going on here. So the problem is with the, you know, because they had to do their marketing thing for the Pokemon, you know, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, which was hilarious because they're like, we're going to reveal all new gym leaders for Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Hey, look, it's these guys you saw 15 years ago, but they're chibi now. It's like, okay, they did that three times on us. Because they had to go through the full marketing cycle, I think we're going to see a very ramped up marketing cycle. I don't know what else we're going to see. They've already shown that there's going to be some new Pokemon. If the rumors are to be believed, there won't be that many new Pokemon appearing or new regional forms. There'll be a fair smattering, but you know, do I think that they're going to show off like Hisuian, Arcanine or, you know, Electrode? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we've got a few more reveals coming in, but I think it'll mostly be new Pokemon. I think that's one of the big things that, you know, everyone thinks that we're going to get regional variations of the starter Pokemon, that we'll get the regional variants appearing there. So I think that if they do that, that will be a reveal that they'll do like the week before. You know, there's a couple of interesting things that they could do. I don't know. I don't know what we will be getting. I personally think that what we will need to see is we will need to see a little bit more actual gameplay of how the game cycle mm-hmm. works. Because you know, they've kind of hinted at it, not hinted at it. They've talked about it if you go to the website, they explain a lot of what you will be doing in the game. But I would like to know, like, okay, because, like, for instance, they talk about you're going to have to go out and, like, observe Pokemon multiple times. Like, I would like to see how that works. I think that's going to be an important one. You know, because I think that people, you know, for instance, like, I don't think to a lot of people, I don't know how aware people are that there's not going to be a lot of trainer battles in this game. Mm-hmm. Like, there will be mm-hmm. very few. And compare that to Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, where you sneeze and a trainer falls out of a tree.
You run into a trainer every six steps.
My wife is currently playing through Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl right now. And, like, she's getting, like, so frustrated by, like, there's trainers everywhere. Every time I step into the grass, a Pokemon pops up. Like, there will be times where I literally get into a Pokemon encounter, get out of the Pokemon encounter, take one step forward, get into another Pokemon encounter. I'm like, yep, that's what you're dealing with. That's what you're dealing with.
I wonder what the grindy aspects of this game are going to be like. Because even like you said, like you're going to have to research Pokemon multiple, you have to observe them multiple times and for other things. But like, to what end, and what is the game? Right?
Like, you have to build your Pokeballs. So this is not like something where you purchase Pokeballs. So you have to go and collect material to buy your Pokeballs to build your Pokeballs.
There is one thing that could drive me away from a game. It's crafting.
I love crafting, man.
Oh,
I bet that's the split, I guess.
So much. Just let me buy it. Let me find gold. Like, make it easier for me to find the money and let me buy it.
Jim, how are you going to get gold or get Pokemon dollars in this game? Because it's a wild, untamed land. What are you going to do? Are you going to go and like exploit Pokemon? Like, hey, Bidoof, give me your coins. Give me your wallet, man. Give me your wallet so I can buy Pokeballs to capture.
I want to sell my pictures. I'm going to sell the pictures and research that I get and make money that way.
Jim, there's this like picture of Jim as a trainer traveling through this vast untamed countryside with a red wagon filled with Pokemon cards.
Basically.
Hey, you wanna beat that Voltorb? I've got the information you need right here out of this wagon. Just $10.
Just give me your Pokeballs, because I don't want to craft them.
That's right.
I
know there's going to be a lot of that in this game, but like it's why, like, is it because it's Pokemon, I will stick with it more and suffer through it just because I just like Pokemon. But it's like, it's one of the biggest things that drove me away from Animal Crossing. Like, I had to know that it's a thing everyone loves. I just, nope, sorry, can't do it. I don't want to go around and pull weeds and collect fruit and chop down trees and
fish. I do think that will be a big thing, is like, you know, like how easily is the resource collection in this game? Like, you know,
given how popular stuff like Minecraft is in this audience, I'm sure Pokemon companies are like, yes, let's incorporate it. We know that, you know, that a majority of that age demographic will do that. a lot of them have been raised on doing so. So it'll be interesting. I'm game for it. Obviously, I have like 1,000 hours on Animal Crossing at this point. So,
so should we talk about the other weird thing? Speaking of Pokemon Legends,
Night Fighters in the chat goes, you think you're getting paid for your research? It's work experience.
Absolutely.
any millennial intern knows the pain of that statement.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Maybe get like a cold cup of coffee.
Well, I just can't wait until we see like the very first thing. It's like, well, you know, like you are now a shinobi in the, you know, working for the galactic, you know, research team or whatever. The first thing we want you to do, we want you to find out where Pokemon eggs come from. Go out into the wild and don't come back until we know how Pokemon eggs are made. This is one of the great questions of our time.
If this game doesn't answer that question, no game will. This is this is the one opportunity for them to answer that question. And if they don't in here, I basically am just going to admit or just resign to the fact that the Pokemon Company will never answer that question.
Ever. Some things they just want to keep behind closed doors, man. We have to respect that. Just saying, there's boundaries.
All right, Christian, what was the other weird thing that you were going to bring up?
Oh, I was going to talk about Ash as a time traveler. Now he's finally becoming Doctor Who. Oh,
buddy,
Megan, do you want to take this one?
It's because this is a weird. It's a very roundabout situation. So as always, you know, the Pokemon games and the anime have come out in tandem since they first went out live in Japan decades ago. So, of course, ahead of Pokemon Legends Arceus, there's going to be an anime special. But instead of taking a arc in the actual Pokemon Journeys canon anime, they're doing a different Pokemon special anime special, TV special that's going to air exclusively on Amazon Prime in Japan. At this point, we have no information on whether it's going to show in the United States or if it'll be subbed or anything like that. What information we do know is that it's going to feature Ash, Go, and Dawn, and they're going to be, you know, time traveling. They're going to be back in the Hisui region. And that's really all we know. We have seen still images of them dressed in kind of the throwback costumes that we've seen in the Pokemon Legends Arceus, you know, trailer promos. We see them kind of with the old wooden, you know, nut-made, Pokeballs. We have that little bit of information. It's not supposed to be, from what we have been informed of, part of the Pokemon Journeys mainline series canon. It's kind of supposed to be like a little offshoot that I guess if you've seen it, you can kind of make it work. And if you haven't, it's whatever. Currently, the Pokemon Journeys anime in Japan is dealing with the Sinnoh region. So, you know, I guess it could make sense if he, you know, stumbles upon something and travels back in time. You know, him, Ash, and Go. I mean, Ash, Go, and Dawn go back and, you know, meet Arceus. Who knows at this point, honestly. But yeah, we're getting a special. It's supposed to be coming out at the end of January. I believe it's going to be coming out on January 27th. So right there with the game's release. And we have no information on if it's coming to the United States officially, but, you know, clips will make their way online. So I'm very excited to see how Ash travels back in time. Like, or I have a theory that it's not Ash actually traveling back in time. I have a theory that it's just going back in time, and that's like Ash's ancestor. That's like all three of their ancestors. That's my theory.
That looks just like Ash. But then you fast forward and you realize it actually has been Ash all along.
Ash is
the eternal warrior. And
oh my gosh. That's it. That's my theory, man. My theory is that is Ash's ancestor, or we do learn that Ash has been, you know, alive for literally centuries. So both would track for me. Honestly, would not be surprised.
The only thing that I'm like really surprised about by this whole thing, like, you know, does it surprise me that Ash is, you know, a time traveler? No, it doesn't surprise me. Does it surprise me that he's bringing Go with him? No, because he's going to leave him back in the past behind.
Oh my gosh.
But it does surprise me that they're, you know, like it surprises me a little bit that they're bringing Dawn, you know, they're using Dawn for this adventure. Like, you know, I thought that was like a little, you know, kind of interesting. Like, it's not that surprising because Dawn's, you know, this will be like what, like Dawn's like third appearance in the Pokemon Journeys anime. But you know, I did think that was just like, it makes sense because, you know, Dawn, you know, I forget what they're calling her in, you know, Pokemon Legends Arceus, you know, but it's clearly Dawn, you know, who's in there. So it doesn't surprise me that much, but I did think that, you know, they were going to use Chloe in that spot, but you know, whatevs. Other than that, I was like, oh, I see that Ash is traveling back in time. Oh, it's not going to be a movie. That's a weird choice. I mean, we haven't gotten a Pokemon movie in God knows how long. They haven't even announced.
Yeah, it has been a hot minute. Obviously, COVID has messed up production lines. I think, honestly, at this point, the Pokemon company, their production for the anime has done well to just continue to put up weekly episodes. The Pokemon anime, you know, Pokemon Journeys traditionally does outsource quite a bit of material. And so that definitely gets clogged up with the COVID pipeline. They did, you know, take a break early, not too long ago. That was several weeks long, you know, in order to kind of, you know, amass material to continue to put out episodes. So, you know, I'm not too surprised. If anything, you know, I'm surprised that they're just not airing the TV special as, you know, a TV special, you know, on TV, on cable, you know, not something that's exclusive to Amazon Prime, but, you know, streaming's changing, streaming both, you know, domestically and internationally. There is a, you know, major turf war for having exclusive anime content. So it's not that surprising to me. I'm just mainly curious how it'll play out if or when it gets international distribution.
I love it.
Okay.
Chris, you want to give us the Pokemon fact of the week?
Yes. So we're skipping ahead a little bit because, you know, this is our the closest thing we're going to get to a Christmas episode, even though I guess the next episode will be like closer to Christmas chronologically. You know, it's after Christmas and over here in the United States, as soon as Christmas, you know, know, happens, we just dump everything immediately. Christmas tree goes in the trash, all that stuff. So anyways, so we're going to talk about Deli Bird, everyone's favorite pleasant, jolly Christmas bird. You know, Deli Bird, Deli Bird is just a pleasant hoot. You know, he goes around, he gives food to people he finds, he's giving gifts, delivering things to its chicks. My favorite fact about Deli Bird is Deli Bird has a tendency to like come upon people who are lost in trouble, and he gives them food, which, you know, you think like that's very sweet of them, you know, until you realize that Deli Bird is a Pokemon, and, you know, we know that Pokemon eat other Pokemon. And so occasionally when he comes upon a lost human or a human that's, you know, lost in the wild, dying of starvation, he will present them a bug Pokemon, giving them the horrific choice of, will you eat this Caterpie, probably alive and wriggling, in order to sate your hunger and stave off starvation, or will you die? And it probably just goes and it has this Caterpie and it's just like, presenting it to him. The Caterpie is weak, probably with one HP left, holding it in front of the human and making them make a Sophie's choice. Merry Christmas, everyone.
This is horrible.
Merry Christmas.
You know, I'm really, really not a fan of how you explained that. Like, all I know is that if Misty was starving in an isolated remote area, Deli Bird comes up and is like, if you eat this Caterpie, you will live. She would die. She would choose to die. Not because I think she has a moral standing against eating the Caterpie. I think she would just be too scared. And yeah. I do need to mention, Zenpai in the chat, when I saw this, that we were covering Deli Bird this week, I did my own little research, and I have learned that is not a sack Deli Bird is holding separate from his body. That is his tail.
Yep, that is his
tail. I literally learned that 5 minutes ago during our little commercial break. And I immediately started losing my mind. That's just his tail folded up like a little knapsack when he puts
food
in it.
And it keeps the food in its tail. And the food comes out of the tail. That means you're eating.
It's like a bunch of skin folds. It's like a big.
So is it like Deli Bird poop?
Is it?
No. It's basically like skin flaps. It's like a flying squirrel's like wing things. You know, this is fine. Yeah, this is like the 10th least creepiest thing about Deli Bird.
I need to know if it's insulated. Is it insulated?
Probably. It's probably not that well insulated. I mean, it's a little leathery sack. Like, you know.
Is it leathery? Is it furry? Is it soft? Does it feel like a penguin? Like, I need to know.
Well, it could have some down. I mean, Deli Bird is a bird. You know,
well, so if it's not carrying, if it's not holding its tail slash bag in its mouth, does it then just like flap behind him?
Yeah. I want to see a Deli Bird not holding its tail.
It kind of,
in that case, is
it
just like a long dress tail?
Yeah, like I want to see, like there has got to be at some point a Deli Bird that's tail has come off its shoulder, there was no food in it, and it was just walking around the ground with like a regal little gown thing coming out. I'm just fascinated by this, mainly because I only learned that it existed 5 minutes ago. I spent my whole life thinking that was a bag because the way that I knew Deli Bird best was from a Pokemon Stadium minigame when he has all those presents and he's stuffing them in the bag and he's getting all those things.
Weirdo.
And now that I know, I was shoving diamond rings and N64s into his weird little skin pouch. I'm very upset, but also I'm so intrigued.
Also,
I would also like to learn.
He would make such a good like food delivery driver, like Uber Eats. Deli Bird
He'll show up and then present you like, here's this Caterpie, and then he'll just stare at you until you take it. And then you're like, no, I think you got my order wrong. And you just staring
you
at
ride?
You.
Could you ride in his little tail sack?
There's,
like if you were
oh God. Or maybe that's where it carries its baby. Crazy. It's baby Deli Birds.
Yeah, it talks
like
about how birds,
it's Kong. Like King's Kong has this pouch on its belly. Deli Bird is just throw it over your back into the pouch and will drag you along. I am now obsessed with Deli Bird. I'll tell you that much.
Well, the other thing in this is, so in the Gen 3 games, there's in Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald, there was once a famous explorer who managed to reach the peak of Mount Everest thanks to one of these Pokemon sharing
that
his food.
totally ate a Caterpie.
That man totally absolutely ate a Caterpie. But I need to know, did this man, like, get in the pouch, and did Delibird take him up the mountain a little bit? Like,
Caterpies are huge. How are they fitting in the can of Delibird?
Is it like Mary Poppins' purse? Like, that pouch just keeps expanding? Like, how stretch? Like, what is the volume?
This dude's like, you know, climbing up Mount Everest with his ice picks, you know, this blizzard raging, and there's a deli bird just kind of going. It's like, oh, sir, are you hungry? Here's a lady ba. You know, please eat this lady ba. It's fine. It's fine. Eat it. Eat it. Eat it. It's not even wriggling. It's cold. It's a bug. Like,
I just have so many questions. Is this pouch waterproof? I have many.
I feel like the fact that me and Megan are focusing on totally different things. Like, you know, like I'm focusing on the fact that Delibird is a freaking sadist who,
the bird Pokemon, we assume the bird Pokemon eat the bug Pokemon, circle of life, people eat bugs. I'm less horrified at
these that are intelligent creatures. Delibird knows what he's doing.
Normal caterpillars are intelligent creatures.
Delibird is literally giving people live bug Pokemon and asking them if they want to play a game.
Wow, that just
like literally the jigsaw of Pokemon, and it's wrapped up and it's like, this is our Christmas Pokemon, guys. Like,
that is the very weird aspect of this.
But like, I mean, just imagine if Santa Claus didn't carry a bag. Imagine if Santa Claus had a sack attached to his back, kept all the presents.
That is what
the Pokemon universe has. Like,
you also have to keep in mind, if Santa Claus were a Pokemon, his jolly red suit is actually his skin, and he's climbing into your house naked.
I think we've reached that line in this conversation, that if we take another step further, we've crossed that line.
That is correct. And so with Merry Christmas, happy holidays, everybody.
Oh man. I'm gonna have to talk to my husband after this.
I think we've got one more show before the actual end of the year. Yep, on the 27th. And so we'll do our typical year-end extravaganza where we look back on the year of Pokemon, the highs, the lows. I don't know if this counts as a low. It sure as hell feels like it.
This is the high point for us. Let's be completely honest with what just happened here.
Maybe go through some of our favorite Pokemon facts of the weeks, etc. But again, we appreciate it. We hope you guys hope we were able to provide a little extra laughter with all, you know, everything going on in the world today. And so we appreciate you spending an hour with us. I will say, normally at this part of the show, I say, hey, if you want to support the show, head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Guess what? As of today, Spotify is now accepting reviews. I think they're just like 5-star, like star ratings. I don't know if you can leave reviews or not, but go check it out. I'm going to go check it out in a little bit. And leave us a review on Spotify. We would love that. That would be the best Christmas present to us that you could give us. Good reviews, because that helps get the word out about the show and whatever weird algorithm math happens on the podcast distribution side. So if you say, these guys have given us a lot. I want to give back. That's a great way to give back. And then just tell your friends about it. Otherwise, come back next week for the year-end extravaganza live. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/comicbook. Otherwise, get in touch with us on Twitter at PokemonPodCB is the Twitter account for the show. I'm at Jim Viscardi. Megan's at Megan Peter CB. Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. Hope you guys have a bunch of shiny luck this week for the holiday extravaganza going on in Pokemon Go. If you need to real quick get some rank in Unite, go play as Cramorant. And until next week, we'll catch you later, folks.